Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 19th, 2016, episode 12.12, the Week 7 preview show. Fans, you are in trouble, as I have won for the fourth week in a row. Once again, I am the smartest man alive.
I am the smartest man alive!
But as I've jumped out to a 4-2 lead, don't worry. The Cowboys don't play this week, so fans can't be burned by them again. Longtime listener and good friend Derek Hanlon is putting his picks up for the fans this week, so we'll get to all those later. The Broncos lose in Week 6 to the Chargers, and now they face the guy that left town in Brock Osweiler. I'll tell you how that one will end up. Another player is headed to the IR because injuries continue. The Panthers seem to be stuck with a huge Super Bowl hangover, and they're going to need to finish at least 9-1 if they have any hopes of making the playoffs. Des Bryant has a huge prediction for how Zeke Elliott's going to finish the year, and the commissioner, Roger Goodell, says the NFL is looking hard at Vegas. I think it may be time to get ready for the Las Vegas Raiders. Plus, I'll recap all of Week 6, and I'll give you my predictions for Week 7 as I put my picks up against Derek. But let's chomp it in, this time with the original song, Chomp It In. All right, there you have it. That was Chomp It In. Steve Overhoot, thank you very much. Remember, he kind of put that out there last year for us. Original, all brass band. I like it. That's love. I love the horns. Love the playing. But let's get to it. Lots of things to talk about. We'll start first with Odell Beckham Jr., who is not practicing because of a hip injury. I'm tired. Are you all? Is it just me? Or are you all tired of the whole Odell Beckham Jr. with the kicking net and him every time he scores having to run over to it and kiss it or throw it on top of himself or propose to it or whatever idiotic thing he's doing with the stupid net? Enough is enough. Nix it, dude. It's done. It's been played out. Move on. Celebrate another way. The net is old hat. And fix your hip, whatever's wrong with that. Maybe it's because you gyrations with the net. Enough with that. Player going to the IR, wide receiver Vincent Jackson for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Apparently he hurt himself during the Carolina win a couple weeks ago. So that is that's not good news for Tampa Bay. They've been hurt by the injury bug pretty hard this year. Their running back, Doug Martin, now Vincent Jackson. They're saying that Martin's not going to be available for another couple of weeks. So that is not good news there. Dez Bryant had some interesting things to say about rookie running back Ezekiel Elliott. So I guess Bryant was talking to his the media, of course, because the media always talks to the players there in the Dallas Cowboys locker room. And this was fresh off Dez Bryant practicing with taped fingers. And that was because apparently he cut his fingers while he was opening his soup. Okay. Brian called the injury extremely minor. Extremely, extremely minor. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys are in the news because everybody wants to know when Tony Romo's coming back and when he's going to play. And, you know, nobody really is giving you any information coming out of the Dallas Cowboys. They just don't want to go there. Most likely, Dak Prescott will start coming out of the bye week. The Cowboys are on a bye this week. Then they play the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll probably be Dak Prescott, and then most likely Tony Romo comes back to play the Cleveland Browns if he is ready for that. But all we hear is if he is ready for that. That's all we are getting from anyone, including Jerry Jones. So Jerry Jones usually gives you all kinds of information as the first to share pretty much anything about his team. But this is one that even the owner slash general manager of the club is playing pretty close to the vest. He's not telling anything. or saying anything about that situation right now. Dez Bryant also thinks a lot about rookie running back Ezekiel Elliott. Dez feels that Ezekiel Elliott is not only going to surpass Eric Dickerson's rookie record of 1,808 rushing yards, he says Bryant's going to smash that record. He believes it'll be 2,000 yards or more. That's his prediction. That's pretty impressive. Look, only 7 players in the history of the National Football League have rushed for 2,000 yards in a season. Of course, Eric Dickerson, who has the record. Adrian Peterson, who was shy of the record by just 8 yards after he came back from that ACL injury. Jamal Lewis, Barry Sanders, Terrell Davis, Chris Johnson, and O.J. Simpson all rushed over 2,000. Ezekiel Elliott could really maybe make that? I mean, he's rushed for 703 yards in 6 games. Oh, and mind you, the first 2 games were pretty much duds. I think he had 54 yards the first game and 83 in the second game. Since then, he's had 4 consecutive games of over 100 yards. He's had 3 consecutive games of going over 130 yards or more. Actually, all 4 he went over 130 yards. So that's pretty impressive. He rushed for over 150 yards against the Green Bay Packers, who up until then were the number one rush defense in the league. So certainly the kid has something. I like the kid. I've been singing his high praises since way before the season started. Right now, he's on pace to finish with 1,875 yards. That's enough to beat the rookie record, but that would still leave him 125 yards shy of 2,000. I say he can do it. I mean, really, he can. The Cowboys are limiting his carries right now. He has been doing this with pretty much not very many carries. It's not like the Cowboys are asking Elliott to rush for 25, 30 carries per game. I mean, he's only averaging about 22 carries a game. I think in some games he's been under 20 attempts. So the Cowboys are limiting his touches, and I think that's fantastic. If he can continue to run as well as he's running over the next 10 games of the season, he has a very good shot of going over 2,000 yards. Keep him healthy, keep him clean, keep him ready. But I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to, right now, certainly even with as well as folks like Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz have been playing, Ezekiel Elliott right now, Offensive Rookie of the Year, you can pretty much mark that ballot if he continues going the way he is going. To lead the league in rushing, look, he's got a 703-yard rushes so far in 6 games, and he is first leading the league in rushing. The next closest player, LeSean McCoy, has 587. Okay, so he's over 120 yards that he has a lead there over LeSean McCoy. He's on a bye this week. LeSean McCoy is going to play, so let's see if he catches him after this week. It's going to be fun to continue to see Ezekiel Elliott all season long. Now the Denver Broncos, they had a horrible loss last week to the San Diego Chargers. Thursday night football. God-awful orange uniforms versus god-awful blue uniforms for San Diego. 21-13, San Diego jumped up. They held on to the lead. I was watching this game, and when Denver kicked the field goal to make it an 8-point game, 21-13, I was like, how in the world is San Diego going to mess this game up? Because they've been messing up all their games. They've had chances to win, let them get away, but not this one. They held on, and I think that could be the game, the tone setter that changes the season around for the San Diego Chargers. Look, the crazy thing is San Diego has Atlanta this week, and then they go next week and play Denver again. Crazy scheduling snafu there where they play the Denver Broncos twice in 3 weeks. Really weird situation there for San Diego. But if they somehow find a way to beat the Atlanta Falcons this week and then go up to Denver and beat the Denver Broncos in that game, the San Diego Chargers will be looking completely different than how they started the season. I'm excited to see how San Diego plays against Atlanta this week. But the final there on Thursday Night Football, 21-13. Let's do a recap of Week 6. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. This was the challenge game. Jeremy Parker, El Executivo, the executive producer of the show, decided that he didn't like the other games. We differed on Detroit, Los Angeles. He had L.A. Well, I had the Lions. I would have won that one. He had San Francisco. I had Buffalo. That was a blowout. The Bills kind of ran away with it. Colin Kaepernick started for the first time. I'll talk a little bit more about Colin Kaepernick's debut back as the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Not much he could do because that defense was awful. They allowed LeSean McCoy and the Buffalo Bills offense to rush for over 300 yards. That's hard to do, folks, in one football game. Yet the Bills were able to do it as they took a 45-16 win over San Francisco. I would have won that had he made that challenge game. The only we had the Washington. I had the Redskins. He had Philadelphia. Washington beat the Eagles 27-20, handing the Eagles their second straight loss of the season, second consecutive loss, and second loss overall. They're now 3-2. Washington, on the other hand, has won four games in a row. They look pretty good. He would have lost that one as well. So there's three games there that I kind of got on him. The only game that he and I differed on that he won, he had the New York Giants. I had the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens had this in the bag until the defense decided to stop covering Odell Beckham Jr. in the final 2 minutes of the game and allowed him to get his second 50-plus yard reception for a touchdown. That was pretty incredible, giving the Giants the 27-23 win. Now, he made Dallas Green Bay, made it a little fun because it's my team that I kind of like to support, but Green Bay was never in this football game. It's only a 14-point victory, and that's in the NFL, that's a lot. You win by two touchdowns, you pretty much handled the other team. I said, and I actually tweeted out during the game, this is not DirecTV Aaron Rodgers. This is cable Aaron Rodgers. He's looking bad. Now, I don't know. Some people are pointing at Olivia Munn, saying that the girlfriend is the problem. He's been different ever since he's been dating her. Heck, I'd be different if I'd be dating her, okay? She is an extremely cool woman. Now, I don't ever put the problems of what's happening on the football field on a woman. I just can't do that. I'm sorry. But there's something else going on there with Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know if he just has lost the timing and the chemistry with Cobb and Jordy Nelson. Look, there were several passes that he threw to Jordy Nelson that typically, I mean, they're automatic. The back shoulder throws aren't there, and when Jordy is slanting across the middle, he is throwing the ball behind him. Now, maybe Jordy's gotten faster and Aaron just hasn't compensated for that yet, or Aaron Rodgers' delivery has gotten slower. Something is going on there that we just don't know. I'm not sure if it's an injury. This is probably one of those Jeff Ellis thinks that he would say, I'm sure we're going to find out in a few weeks that Aaron Rodgers has been dealing with an injury. Maybe that's certainly a possibility, but one thing is for sure. This is not the Aaron Rodgers from a few years ago where he was accurate and precise with the football. He missed a wide open Randall Cobb in the back of the end zone. He just doesn't do that very often. So you either got to start looking at the chemistry and the timing between his wide receivers and himself, or you got to start looking at Aaron Rodgers, the person himself. And that might be it. There just might be something going on with Aaron. He doesn't look like he's having fun. Every time he makes a mistake, he has that kind of look, that grimace like, ow, I'm in pain. And it's like an emotional pain. I don't know what he is. He certainly does not look like he's having fun playing football. Even when he threw a touchdown pass, he was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it is right now looks like whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I tried to tell everybody the Green Bay Packer defense going into that game as the number one rush defense was kind of like a facade. They had played the Minnesota Vikings without Adrian Peterson. They played the New York Giants, who have really no run game to speak of. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. They had no running game to speak of. And even though they, I think they beat the New York Giants. I mean, just all the teams that they had beaten, and even the team they lost to, Minnesota, didn't really have a run game. Their rush attack was not all that spectacular. So now they were facing a team that could really run the football. The offensive line blocks their butts off, as do the wide receivers and the tight ends for the Dallas Cowboys. And Ezekiel Elliott had some really good holds. to go for over 150 on the road in Lambeau, that's pretty impressive. And then you can't understate Dak Prescott. You know, I am tired of the whole who will start when Tony Romo's ready, blah, 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 blah. You can say all of that. The fact of the matter is, finally, for the first time in this football game, they allowed Dak to throw the ball in the air over 20 yards. He threw a touchdown pass at the back of the end zone to Bryce Butler that looked pretty awesome. And then he had the wherewithal to put some little bit of touch to a wide-open Terrence Williams. Other rookies would have probably just gunned the ball out there and probably overthrown a wide-open wide receiver. He just put it out there enough to, Terrence, you may have to slow down a little bit for this one to catch it, but I'm going to make sure I get it there and that you do catch it. Set up they went, something like 97 yards in 33 seconds for that touchdown at the end of the half to give them that 14-point lead. That was pretty impressive. Dak is answering every call. You know, 1 week it's like, well, let's see how he does against this defense and the Cincinnati Bengals. And now he's going on the road to Lambeau. Let's see how he does against that defense. He is answering every call. He's looking pretty spectacular. But I still feel that the Cowboys will be a better football team offensively, even better than they are right now with Tony Romo at the helm. Because right now I still think that they're handcuffing Dak Prescott for whatever reason. They haven't opened up the entire playbook. You put Tony Romo back out there who knows the playbook, knows it well, and now all of a sudden defense have to pick their poison. Are we going to stack the box and go after Ezekiel Elliott and limit the running game? Or are we going to go after Tony Romo? Or are we going to, you know, try to take Dez Bryant and Jason Witten and Cole Beasley away from Tony Romo? Who are you going to go? You're going to take away the passing game or take away the running game? One of them is going to beat you. It'll be interesting to see what the Cowboys do in 2 weeks when Tony Romo is ready to play football. All right, the final there was 30-16. Huge, huge upset and a game that knocked out a plethora of survivor pool players. The Pittsburgh Steelers going down to Miami and getting manhandled. 30-15, Miami wins the game. It's a Miami team that I've been expecting to see all year. And the week they decide to come out is, of course, the week I take Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know if you listen to me and you took the Pittsburgh Steelers, oh, yeah, I am sorry. I just did not see that coming. Jay Ajayi, now a guy who I've been liking in fantasy football, all of a sudden busted loose, over 200 yards rushing, couple touchdowns. The Pittsburgh Steelers had no defense for him. And I am trying to figure out what has happened to defenses in the NFL, especially defenses of premier teams that we generally think of are great defensive football teams, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tomlin has got to be tossing and turning in his bed every night because that defense looks very bad. This week they've got the New England Patriots. Oh, my God, and Tom Brady's back, and that offense is humming on all cylinders. Let's pick your poison with them. Pittsburgh Steelers are without Ben Roethlisberger. He got hurt in this game. He was out for a little bit. He came back after halftime, but he was never really himself. Turns out he had a torn meniscus, had surgery this past Monday, and what I'm hearing right now, Art Rooney is saying that he is going to miss 2 to 6 weeks. So it could be a long time before Ben Roethlisberger puts on the uniform for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anyways, Miami, there's the classic Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You never know what you're going to get. You're either going to get a very, very bad football team, a team that almost gets beat by the Cleveland Browns, gets smashed by a couple other clubs, or a team that all of a sudden out of nowhere plays great defense, puts up 30 points, and beats an AFC perennial playoff team like in the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's very, very wild. Cincinnati travels to New England. Cincinnati was in it for a little while. They got after Tom Brady early in the football game, sacked him a few times. But then it just kind of like the wheels fell off. And once the wheels fell off, it was over. 35-17, Gronkowski, 162 yards receiving, single-handedly torched the Cincinnati defense. There was a lot of chippiness in this football game. I think Burfict got fined $75,000 for a hit that he put on Martellus Bennett. Just the Patriots right now they've got their guy back, and they are playing at that kind of level, like that year where they went undefeated, went 16-0 going into the playoffs. Now, obviously, they can't go 16-0. They've lost a game already. The Buffalo Bills shut them out a few weeks ago. I'm really looking forward to the next time the Bills play the Patriots. That's going to tell a lot about that division. It'll be very interesting to see that football game. Kansas City traveled to Oakland and had no problems with the Raiders in a stormy, rainy, monsoon-like game up in Oakland. 26-10, Kansas City. Jamaal Charles was back running as well as usual. And Andy Reid, coming off a bye, just seems to be pretty incredible. I think he's something ridiculous like 16-2. He's only lost 15-2 now. This made it 15-2. He's only lost twice coming out of a bye. Whenever the schedule comes out, make sure that you're not playing the Kansas City Chiefs when you come off a bye, because Andy Reid, he certainly knows how to take that extra week and use it to his advantage. 26-10 there. The Oakland Raiders, they've been better on the road than they've been at home. They've lost twice at home. You can't do that. You can't go on the road and dominate and then come back to your home stadium and lose. Now, granted, they lost to the Chiefs and they lost to the Falcons, two pretty good football teams, but still. You have to be able to handle your house, right? I keep seeing that Green Bay Packer commercial with Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers. No one comes into this house without paying the price. Not now, not ever. And then he tries to hit a fly with a golf club. Why a golf club? I guess that makes the commercial funny, but why a golf club? And then he smashes it. And then really what sells the whole commercial is Clay Matthews with a mouthful of sandwich says, "Well, did you get it? Did you get it?" Yeah, there you go. But Oakland, you got to protect your house. No one goes into your house without paying the price, not now or not ever. And you got to find that not now or not ever, because right now people are going to Oakland saying, "We're going to get some booty." And then they almost do. And San Diego almost won. San Diego had their kicker, had their holder been able to put the ball down for the kicker to kick the field goal, it would have been tied. You would have gone to overtime. Who would have known what happened? So you sneaked one away from San Diego there at home. They got to find a way to play the football that they're playing out on the road in Oakland. But that's maybe why they're looking to leave, right? Commissioner Goodell, Las Vegas mayor was on talking today about how they approved the building, the taxpayer money to build a massive super stadium to host an NFL football team. They hope it's the Raiders. That might be cool. It might be cool to have a professional football team in Las Vegas. Hockey did it. They're getting a National Hockey League team coming to Las Vegas, so why not an NFL team? Goodell said earlier today that it is possible that the Raiders can move to Las Vegas. He says it's not quite ready. Not quite ready, but he did announce that the league has a long way to go before they green light a franchise move to Nevada. He says there's still a great deal of information that we need to gather with respect to the circumstances we see in Las Vegas, the opportunities, and also the challenges. This was Goodell speaking in the fall league meeting in Houston. He said, "Those are the things we'll look at through the committee and report back to them maybe as early as December, but more likely later than that." So they're going to look at it, he says, as specifically as it relates to the Oakland Raiders. The presentation was informative and it was factual. The membership had the opportunity to ask questions. The chairman of the committee, Art Rooney, made it very clear that this is something that is a significant focus of the stadium committee and has been and will be going forward. So the fact that they're going to build a stadium there is great, because as we know, Mark Davis, the new owner of the Oakland Raiders, well, he would like to move his team, but he's going to need a lot of help building a stadium if he's going to go somewhere. So the fact that Las Vegas has already done this, that's a big step moving forward for the Raiders if they do get a chance to move forward. Anyways, that's just kind of a side note there, coming off a 26-10 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Atlanta, Seattle. This is going to lead me to my first rant of the show, but first of all, let me tell you that the Seattle Seahawks took care of business 26-24, and they won the game. Now, I had Atlanta plus 6.5, so I'm happy they covered. That was good. I thought Atlanta was actually going to win the football game. I picked Seattle. Both Jeremy and I had Seattle to win. They did. How they won, though, there is my rant. All right? 26-24, Seattle. At the end of that game, all right, before we get to the end of the game, let me give you a little bit of history for the first 6 weeks of the season. After 6 weeks, 92 games have been played. There have been 1,289 penalties accepted and another 183 that have been declined. That's a total of 1,472 total penalties, flags that have been thrown, or about 16 penalties per game. 16 penalties per game through week six. That's a lot of penalties per game, first of all. I just want to note, that's a lot of penalties per game. The refs are busy throwing the hanky. That yellow flag is coming out, and it's consistently coming out through every game at the tune of about 16 per game. But at the end of Atlanta versus Seattle in Seattle, at the end of a game, during a crucial play, the refs clearly did not throw a flag on one of the most flagrant, clear pass interferences I have ever seen. Richard Sherman's pulling on Julio Jones, holding his arm back so he can't get his arm back, and that was seen by everybody and their dog. Yet the refs, because it was the final play, it was a fourth down play, final play, long deep ball, did not throw the hanky. If you are going to throw a flag at an amount of 16 penalties per game, you better throw the flag when everybody and their dog can see that a violation occurred. If I, with my bifocal glasses, sitting in my living room, can see that Julio Jones's progression towards the football is being withheld by another player, you have to throw the dang flag. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If it's pass interference on the first play of a preseason game, then it's pass interference on the final play of a game. I don't care if it's regular season, postseason, or the freaking Super Bowl. You need to call it and throw the dang flag. That's how that ended. Seattle gets a two-point win in a game that they should have lost. That should have been pass interference. That would have put Atlanta close enough to try a field goal to try and win the game. But that field goal attempt was taken away from them by a referee because they allowed Sherman to pull and interfere with a pass. That was bogus. Enough said there. I get the win both ways, so I can't complain too much. But I can complain because you have to throw the penalty if it's there. And at some point, the NFL has to think about crucial plays like that being reviewed by the booth. This whole, it's a subjective play, so it can't be reviewed. No way! You could clearly see him pulling and turning him and holding his arm down. That was an interference on any planet. But then again, of course, we don't know really what a catch is yet. So there you go with that. Another crazy game, the Indianapolis Colts traveled to Houston to play the Texans. Game went to overtime in a game that Houston had no business winning. Indianapolis taking control from the very beginning. Yet in the fourth quarter, they decided to shut it down. They stopped playing. Houston kept playing, came back, tied it, went to overtime, and got the ball and kicked a field goal to win 26-23. I don't know what is up with the Indianapolis Colts, but this is not the Indianapolis Colts that I know of recent past. And that's just maybe it. Maybe Pagano is not the guy to lead this team. Irsay says he's not concerned. That's the owner of the team. He says he's not concerned. You should be concerned because your Colts are in danger of missing the playoffs again. And if any indication is how they've played over the last few weeks, it's not looking good for the Colts. All right. I said San Diego already won 21-13. You had the Rams losing to the Detroit Lions 31-28. A game in which the Rams played very well on the road, scored 28 points, props there to the Rams' offensive unit, but the defense gave up 31. That was a little too much. They had no answer for Matt Stafford. Even after they took a 28-21 lead, they allowed 10 unanswered points in the fourth quarter as Detroit wins 31-28. Detroit might be making some noise there in the north. Let's see how it is when they play against the Minnesota Vikings. San Francisco at Buffalo, we talked about that one. That was a blowout, 45-16. Carolina out, losing again to the New Orleans Saints. This was a game they had no business being in. They were down 24-3 early. It looked really bad. New Orleans had control, but they stormed back. They clawed back, clawed their way back into it, came back over. Then they clawed it to 31-24. They score a touchdown. You think, oh, man, this is going to tie at 31-31. It's going to be great. Kicker misses an extra point. Kickers. I can't believe it. Then New Orleans scores a touchdown, makes it 38-30. Carolina goes back, scores a touchdown. Cam Newton with a two-point conversion to Funches. 38-38. We're all tied up. We're going to overtime, people. No, you left just a little too much time there for Drew Brees. Marches the team down the field because Carolina has no offense. I cannot believe that one person, Josh Norman's out of that secondary, and all of a sudden, that is like a completely different football team. The defense is just awful. They get New Orleans, gets in range. He kicks it, Lux or whatever the dude's name is, kicks a 52-yarder, redeems himself for missing a field goal earlier in the game. 41-38, the final. Carolina drops to 1-5, and as I said, 6% chance, people, of making the playoffs at 1-5. Oh, and by the way, Carolina, for most part, they have to go 9-1. 8-2 might sneak them in at 9-7, but you better be 10-6 this year, I think, in the NFC. So 9-1 is what they're going to need. I don't think they're capable of doing it. So right now, I'm going to say it before even midseason, stick a fork in the Carolina Panthers. They are done. All right, final game of interest, the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Giants, 27-23. Odell Beckham Jr. with his love affair with the kicking net continues. That's got to stop because I puke every time I see it. And then finally, the nap games. Tennessee took care of business, 28-26 over the Cleveland Browns. Browns continue to be winless. Maybe the 0-16 watch will start if they lose again this week. The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Chicago Bears 17-16, sneaked out a victory in a game they looked awful in from beginning to end. The fact that they were able to get a touchdown there in the end to beat Chicago 17-16. And the Bears, what do I keep saying? What do I keep saying, people, about field goals? You can't march down the field and settle for chippy field goals. It's just not going to get it done in the National Football League. Then on Monday night, the nap game, I expected Arizona all over the New York Jets, 28-3. There was a Geno Smith sighting, and big alert, the New York Jets are saying that Geno Smith is now the starter.
What?
That's right. Geno Smith is now the starter.
What?
Yeah, you know what? This is what some people have to say about that.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
New York Jets going back to Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick. The guy they had to have, the guy they couldn't start the season without, is going to be the backup for Geno. Let's see how well that plays out. All right, it's time to move on to Week 7. Week 7 is here, people, and Derek Hanlon is your guy for the fans. We differ on 4 games we differ on this week. First of all, I should say the Dallas Cowboys and the Carolina Panthers are on a bye. They get the bye this week. That leaves 15 games on the schedule. So let's start with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. All right, that big game this week is the Seattle Seahawks traveling to Arizona to face the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know what you're thinking. But, Steven, the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing the New England Patriots. That is like the AFC matchup from heaven. Well, it would be, except that there is no Big Ben Roethlisberger, and New England is playing great football, so that's not going to be a great game at all. Both Derek and I will tell you right now we're taking New England. As a matter of fact, let's see what Derek says about the New England Patriots game. He says, Patriots versus Steelers, you should have fancied this to be a cracking game. I love that, a cracking game. And potential preview of AFC Championship match. But Ben out changes that. Steelers could well win behind Bell and Williams, but Patriots have looked good, and you can't go against them in this one. He's taking the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots too for that very man. Look, Ben Roethlisberger, different game. And when you have a healthy Roethlisberger, a healthy AB, and a healthy Le'Veon Bell, and all three of those teams, those guys are on the field, that team looks like a different football club. It just really does. But clearly, a banged up Roethlisberger on the field doesn't help, as evidenced last week against the Minnesota Vikings. And then, even though they're hosting New England knows how to travel. They do well on the road. So we're both going to take the Patriots. But let's get back to El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The Arizona Cardinals, fresh off their 28-3 shellacking of the New York Jets, face a Seattle Seahawks football team that quite clearly is not the team that's went to those back-to-back Super Bowls a couple years ago. Seattle is very fortunate that they won the first game of the season against Miami. Very fortunate that they won last week against the Atlanta Falcons. They clearly have some football games under their belt that they, quite frankly, didn't deserve to win. But they won them nonetheless. And here we go. Now you've got a road test, a divisional matchup, two teams that don't like each other very much. Seattle has won two out of the last three, except for that one win back in November of last year for Arizona, where they beat Seattle 39-32. The other two losses, though, where Seattle won, Seattle put up 36 and 35, and Arizona managed 6 points in each one of those losses. So Seattle clearly has the advantage against the Arizona Cardinals, but this is a different Seattle team, as I've said. They're on the road. I'm going to take Arizona. Let's see what Mr. Hanlon says. He says, this is a tough one. Seattle aren't the same Seattle as recent years. Is he copying my notes? Where is he? What's up? I just said that. And got away with one against the Falcons that they should have lost. However, Cardinals haven't been last year's Cards either. Looked like they got it together on Monday Night Football, but then they were playing the Jest. Not the Jets, the Jest. I don't know, was that a typo, Derek, or did you mean to say the Jest? Because that is quite funny. Much more of a must-win for Arizona versus a divisional rival at home. He's taking the Cardinals as well. So we both have Arizona and El Estupendo Grande Juego. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. Man, I can't even get it out. That's look, it's crazy here, okay, people? We have MLB divisional championships going on right now. Dodgers and the Cubs are playing football, are playing baseball right now to see who gets to go on to the World Series. The Cubs are up 5-0 in the bottom of the fifth. Earlier today, the Cleveland Indians won the ALCS 4-1, winning Game 5 3-0. They are going to the World Series. Look at Cleveland, NBA champions, right? Including the Cavaliers. We got the Indians, possibility of being World Series champions. They're off to the World Series. They've got the Cleveland Browns who, they haven't won a game. Okay. Go Indians. How about the Cleveland fans need all the love they can possibly get. So go out there and get them, you Indians, because the Browns aren't going anywhere near the Super Bowl in a long time. I mean, they're 0-6. This season's already done. Seriously. Does anybody out there, because if you do, please send me an email. But if there's anybody out there that believes that the Cleveland Browns can win 10 games in a row, end up 10-6, and go to the playoffs this year and have a shot, if you're out there, I want to hear from you. I need to believe that there at least is one person out there that thinks Cleveland has that shot. If you do think they have that shot, please, let me know. I don't think so. But congrats anyways to the Cleveland Indians who are getting to go to the World Series. All right, let's move on to Games of the Week. All right, first game of the week is a game played early Sunday morning in London. That's right. Coming to you from Wembley. Actually, not Wembley. This game is being played at Twickenham Stadium. That's right, the Cathedral of Rugby Stadiums. That's where this game between the Giants and the Rams is going to be played. The next game goes back to Wembley Stadium. That's week 8. That's next week. Redskins at Bengals at Wembley Stadium. Then week 11, the final international series game of the year. This one in Mexico at Estadio Azteca. That's Aztec Stadium in Mexico City, Mexico. That is a matchup between the Houston Texans and the Oakland Raiders. So that's the rest of your international series matchups for you. But let's get to this one. What does my buddy have to say? He says, Rams found some offense this week, but I'm not buying them. Defense is decent, but not sure they can contain OBJ if he turns up. Of course, he might be away on a sightseeing tour of London with that friggin' net. Enough already. See? It's not just me, people. It's not just me. Giants, not great either, and I guess we'd both like them to find a way to lose. But they've had success in London before, and we'll find a way to get it done. Giants. I don't think so. I think the Los Angeles Rams finally found some semblance of an offense last week against, look, they were on the road against Detroit, and that is pretty good. I like the Los Angeles Rams. I think one thing that not a lot of people know is how the Rams front office has handled their game in London. First of all, I love that they went early. They left from Detroit. They flew to London. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is the Rams front office has made, look, first of all, Jeff Fisher has done this before. They've done this before. They've gone over there. They made their facilities look and feel and act like their facilities out here in Southern California. So it's not going to be like it's a whole different place. They're going to literally be playing and practicing just like they were if they were here. They're there early. They'll acclimate it. They'll get all their checking stuff out of the way, and they'll get down to business. The Giants, you know, they offensively, yeah, Eli and OBJ, they got it done last week against the Ravens. But I think Eli is going to get happy feet early in this game. Donald and Ogletree, they're going to get after him. They're going to make him uncomfortable. They're going to pressure him enough to make the mistakes. I like the Rams in this one. So that's the first game that we differ on. Derek has New York. I have the Rams. New Orleans at Kansas City. The Saints traveling to play the Chiefs. The Chiefs off a huge win on the road against division rival Oakland. Let's see. Derek says the Saints are doing their usual of outscoring teams to avoid the need to play defense. That's true. I swear to God, Drew Brees wakes up every game day and he's like, okay, today I need to score 45 points if I'm going to win this football game. Today I'm going to score 45 points if I need to win this football game. That's literally how he says. Brees is still underrated for making this team competitive with no proper wide receivers. That being said, I think the Chiefs D slows them down somewhat in Arrowhead, and Alex Smith is the kind of error-free QB that can dissect the Saints D. And I tell you what, that Saints D can easily be dissected. I like the Kansas City Chiefs as well, and so does Derek. We'll move on to the Minnesota Vikings playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles, as I said, two straight losses. This is most likely going to be the third. For one, Sam Bradford's coming back to the team that let him go again, and he is going to take a little bit of vengeance out on them. Plus, the Minnesota Vikings defense is balling, y'all. It is playing some solid defense. I like them to go in here and kind of mess around with Carson Wentz a little bit, let this rookie know what's what in the NFL, and they will stop Philadelphia. I like Minnesota. Derek says, Eagles D of weeks 1-3 had a chance of stopping AP and Diggs. Eagles D of Sunday has no shot of stopping Asiata and McKinnon. They know Bradford, but I've always thought Bradford was better than given credit for. He'll stay away from Jenkins and dink and dunk the weaknesses of the secondary. In the secondary, Kyle Rudolph could have a big day. Oh, and he might have a point to prove to the Eagles. Wentz will be okay again, but he hasn't played this good a defense before, and the run game isn't strong enough to help him out. I've got the Vikings. And that's big of Derek to say because he's an Eagles fan. He likes the Eagles. And how Derek and I are friends, him being an Eagles fan, I have no idea. Literally, this season, I have surrounded myself. There's Eagles fans coming out of the woodwork. At work, Hallie Jackson, the great reporter. If you're following the U.S. Presidential races, Hallie Jackson has been all over the presidential race, appearing on MSNBC, the Today Show, CNBC. She's pretty much all over all of the NBC networks talking about the presidential races. She's done a great job. Her only problem with Hallie Jackson is that she likes the freaking Eagles. Then new friend Julie Newmark, she's an Eagles fan. New buddy Derek, at not Derek, Dwayne at work, he's a freaking Eagles fan. Now, of course, Derek Hanlon, who I'm going against, he's an Eagles fan. They're everywhere, people. We've got to stop them from they're exponentially growing out of control. We need to stop them. Eagles fans, that is. That's it. That's all I'm saying about the presidential races. I'm not even watching the third debate. The third debate is happening right now as I'm recording the show. I'm not doing it. I saw the first two. Drove me bonkers. I'm not going to do it a third time. I already know what I'm voting. Neither one can say anything one way or the other that's going to sway me now. It's over. I'm good. Thank you very much. I cannot wait for this presidential election to be over. That's all I can say about that. Okay, but there you go. We both have Minnesota. Even the Eagles fan knows Vikings will be a little too much. Next game, the Washington Redskins travel to Detroit to face the Detroit Lions, except they may be getting like a real roar now, like a roar, like look, Simba. Everything the light touches is our kingdom. Roar, you know, it's like real lions, maybe, finally. Yeah, as I say that, of course, I'm taking the Washington Redskins. Look, this team's on a hot streak right now. They've won four in a row. They opened the season 0-2 with disappointing losses. Remember week two, that loss to Cowboys where they pretty much had the game in the bag and Kirk Cousins throws a pick to Barry Church in the back of the end zone and he picks it and the Cowboys march down the field, score a touchdown, win the football game. And then everyone's like, oh, man, maybe it's Kirk Cousins and maybe Cousins really isn't the guy and I don't know what's happening in our nation's capital besides the presidential election and what is going on with the Washington Redskins. And since that time, where, like, the sky was falling, they've won four in a row. One of the hottest teams in football right now. Okay, I think only the Minnesota Vikings are on a five-game win streak. The Cowboys are on a five-game win streak. I think there's only two teams that have a longer win streak than Washington. Washington's 4-0. I think they're going to find a way to get after Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford has kind of been hot one week, cold the next. He was pretty hot last week against the Rams. Now I don't think he finds his game this week against Washington, so I'm going to take the Washington Redskins. Let's see what our buddy Derek has to say. He says, still not buying the Skins. Ooh, struggled to put Eagles away with no offense to speak of in the first half. Lions are balling, and Stafford's having a great season. Home team, Lions. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could say go with the whole team, but I don't think so. I like Washington. That's two games we differ on. All right, San Diego and Atlanta. Oh, by the way, and you're going to mention, you should notice, I mean, there are a lot of games of the week because there are a plethora of good football games. Not so many interesting games and four nap games, but a lot of games of the week. And so here's the next one, San Diego Chargers at Atlanta Falcons. Man, this was going to be a good game to watch. I got to take Atlanta, though. If this were in San Diego, I'd say Phillip Rivers. But you know what? You just can't count Phillip Rivers out. You know, Phillip Rivers is one of those guys where you think, you know, it's like, literally, it's like. Who can it be now? 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 I mean, don't know if it's going to be the Phillip Rivers who's going to toss for five touchdown passes and over 350 yards, or it's the Phillip Rivers who really just can't seem to connect with anybody because he doesn't really know anybody's names out there running wide receiver routes for him, and he doesn't throw any touchdowns and, you know, struggles to throw for 200 yards. Who going to be now? Who is it going to be this week? Against Denver, he was like in the middle. He really was in the middle. He didn't have a huge game, but he didn't have a bad game, and he was able to manage the game just enough for them to win and beat the defending Super Bowl champions. Who's it going to be in Atlanta? Is it going to go out there? This is an Atlanta defense that has given up a lot of yards to opposing wide receivers. Just, I don't know who, outside of Melvin Gordon, who's running the ball, finally running the ball pretty well for San Diego. Just, who is throwing it? It's got a tight end named Henry. Like, oh, Henry, it's a candy bar. And Inman, and I really can't name very many wide receivers in the San Diego Chargers. I have no idea who they are. Why would Phillip Rivers know? He'll keep it close, but I think Atlanta wins in the end. Let's see. Derek says, Falcons did their Chargers impression last week, finding a new way to lose. Chargers did their Falcons impression last week, going into Mile High for the upset win. I think it was in San Diego last week. So that's okay, Derek. That's all right. It was in San Diego. But still, they beat the Denver Broncos, depending on Super Bowl. Is it going to be back to normal this week? He wants to know. Probably. He's got the Falcons as well. We both have Atlanta. It's at home. If it were back in San Diego, I might slide over to the San Diego Chargers side. But I'm going to take Atlanta here. New England and Pittsburgh. Talked about it earlier. New England going on the road. Pittsburgh without Big Ben. Even though it is very tough to play in Pittsburgh, you don't have your signal caller. And Landry is just not Big Ben. I'm going to take New England. And so is Derek, who says, yeah, we already said what he said. He fancied this game to be a cracking game. I love that. A cracking game. Yeah, I did fancy that to be a cracking game, but not going to be the case. Final game of the week, the Houston Texans travel to Denver to face the Denver Broncos. This is really, really going to be good. I am excited for this game because, look, you got Brock Osweiler, who pretty much shunned Denver. All right, Denver kind of was stunned a little bit. They thought they had offered him enough money. He was going to be the guy. You know, Payton had retired. He was riding off into the sunset with a Super Bowl ring. And then all of a sudden, Osweiler was like, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I'm going to Houston because Texas, everything's bigger in Texas. I love it. And by the way, they're giving me a whole lot more money. See ya later. And now the Broncos, who practiced against him, know the ins and outs of him, get to play against him at home in Denver. Houston's got to go up there. Prime time, Monday night football. They didn't look all that good last week against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I'm going to give Osweiler a little hat tip for pulling that game out there at the end. He played pretty well, made enough throws at the end of that game against Indianapolis to get the win. But they really had no business winning that football game. Indianapolis pretty much just handed them that game. They're not going into Denver and winning this football game. Denver is going to ball out defensively to make sure that Osweiler does not beat them at home. I got Denver, and I think so does Derek. He says, Broncos, I'm not sold on the Texans. Not sold on Osweiler. Not sold on O'Brien. Broncos have been shaky, but we'll get back to basics with a win at home. Broncos. I like that either. I was not sold on Osweiler to begin with, so I'm still not sold on him. And the Texans just, they seem to not be able to get out of their own way. I'm taking the Broncos as well. Time for games of interest. Starting in Tennessee, where the Tennessee Titans host the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, those tricky, tricky Colts. Now, I'm taking the Colts because I think they bounce back from a game they know they should have won. And generally, the Colts pretty much play divisional teams very well. I mean, they have some crazy record like 26. It was 26-5. Now it's 26-6 because they lost last week to Houston. But I think they get Tennessee. Tennessee struggled with Cleveland. Okay, they got a 2-point victory over a winless team. It's not that impressive. What's a little shaky here for me is that you can run on Indianapolis, and Tennessee has been doing a good job running the football, but they're just not consistent enough. They don't do it consistently. If there was more consistency out of their rushing game, I would believe a little bit more in Tennessee. I don't think they get it done. I've got Indianapolis. Let's see what Derek says. He says, the Colts are still not right. Yeah, that's true. Should have put away a poor Texans team, yet still couldn't get the W. Is Pagano just a good DC and not a head coach? That's possible, Derek. Titans played well for a bit to get the W at the weekend, and they nearly lost to the Browns. More talented team who has a history of winning divisional clashes, and that's the Colts. Yeah, that's what I said. The Colts do well within the division. They find a way to pull it out. They'll find a way to pull this one out. They're not going to win. They're not going to lose three division games. They already lost to Jacksonville. Remember, they lost to Jacksonville in London. Divisional matchup overseas. They just lost to Houston. I don't see them losing to Tennessee. It's just not going to see them lose three straight divisional games. If they do, then it may be time to pull the plug there in Indianapolis. Blow it all up and start over again. All right, next game of interest, we have the Oakland Raiders traveling to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. Jags winning some games, but need to play in all four quarters if they want to have a chance at a postseason run and deliver on their potential. This is Derek speaking, by the way. Raiders unbeaten away, but have been surprisingly poor in some games at home. Did not look good last week. This is a tough one and possibly game I'm looking forward to the most. I'll take the home team, the UK's Jacksonville Jaguars. So he's going with Jacksonville, the UK's Jacksonville Jaguars. I like that. I'm sticking with Oakland. As you said, the Raiders are undefeated on the road. This is something that Oakland needed to work on, and they've definitely done a good job so far. They're 3-0 on the road. I think they go to Jacksonville, and they take care of business. They will get back to the winning ways, put another W up on the board for themselves. I like Oakland going on the road, going into Jacksonville, showing Jacksonville what's what, and giving Jacksonville the loss. Our third game that we differ on there. Final game of interest, the Buffalo Bills travel to Miami to face the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins, as I said, they're a bit of a conundrum. Never know what you're going to get. Well, this is a big divisional game here, and it's going to go a long way to deciding the AFC East. I got the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to do something that Miami just doesn't do well. Buffalo's going to run the ball very well. Miami cannot stop the run. I think they're 30th or 31st allowing the run. Buffalo just can run, as we saw last week, over 300 yards rushing. Shady will play, even if he's not playing. Take Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor and everyone else will take care of business. Dolphins turned up last week. This is Derek talking, but still not sold. Rex and Rob will load up on the run D to stop Jai and Foster, and I'm not sure Tannehill can beat them through the air. Is Shady playing? If not, I'm reserving the right to change my pick. But as for now, Bills. I think Shady's playing. I'm not sure. I haven't heard otherwise. Let's put it that way. And yes, you can change your pick right up until they kick off. Just let me know via email or text or whatever. So he's taking the Bills. I'm taking the Bills just because I don't buy Miami. Just because they had that one extraordinary week against the Pittsburgh Steelers who were struggling with all kinds of injuries, I don't buy Miami for a second. I'm done buying Miami. As a matter of fact, Miami, I probably will pick against Miami for the next 5 weeks, and even if they win five in a row, I may not pick Miami again. All right, that's a little crazy. I would probably start picking them. But I'm not sold. There was one game. I think it was a fluke. I think they did it just to mess up everybody's survivor pools. I like the Buffalo Bills and that one. And that just leaves four nap games. Let's get them down. Chicago at Green Bay, Thursday night football. The Green Bay Packers are going to wear a hideous outfit uniform for this game, but I still take Green Bay. Let's see. Derek says the Nappers, Bears versus Packers. Packers. Yeah, that's all you need to know. All right, the Cleveland Browns travel to Cincinnati to face the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got the Bengals. Cincinnati's got to turn it around. This is the game they do it on. Everybody's been beating up on Cleveland. It's time for Cincinnati to do it. Derek says, do the Browns turn up for the Battle of Ohio? You never know. I'll take the Bengals. So he's got the Bengals, too. I thought for a second there he was taking the Browns. Baltimore versus the New York Jets. I think we both have the Ravens on this one. Jets might be worse than the Browns, Derek says. Ravens. Yep, I've got Baltimore, too. Even with Geno Smith coming in to be the quarterback, I do not trust the Jets at all. Then, finally, Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the San Francisco 49ers. He says, coming off the bye, Bucks, and I've got San Francisco. I think the 49ers at home with Colin Kaepernick, he's going to get that fan base behind him. I think they'll do enough to win. So the fourth game that we differ on four games. I got the Rams at home. He's got the Giants. He's got the Lions at home. I've got the Redskins. He's got the Jaguars at home. I've got the Raiders. And I've got San Francisco 49ers at home. He's got the Bucks. And he says, let's see, that gives me the Giants, Lions, Jags, or Bucks to choose. Can't be a road team in a nap game. So most confident about the Lions, so I'll take them. There you have it, folks. He's taking the Detroit Lions for the challenge game. Meanwhile, I'm going to stick with the Washington Redskins and play the red-hot team that is 4-0 coming into this game. All right, that's all the time I have. Just before I do, I will give you my lock of the week. Look, I'm 5-1 on locks this season. 5-1. And the only one that I lost was that stupid Thursday night game against Bills, Jets. But 5-1 last week, I told you, don't believe that it's just a homer pick. I said the Cowboys are getting 5 points in a game that they're most likely going to win. They won by 14. I didn't even need those 5 points. This week, I'm going to take an actual favorite to win. I've been taking a lot of dogs, but I'm taking a favorite, and it's the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings are only giving up 3 points against the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care what rookie it is. They're not going to be good enough to beat this Minnesota defense. This Minnesota defense is on fire. I'm 5-1 on the season. Minnesota -3. If you can get them at -2.5 where a field goal wins the game, that's even better. But I like Minnesota to cover the 3 points, and that is my lock of the week. That's all the time I have, folks. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.